This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. In Roxbury today, archaeologists started digging at the childhood home of Malcolm X. The famed civil rights activist lived on Dale Street with his half-sister Ella Little Collins in the 1940s. This dig is going to last for about 2 weeks, with crews hoping to unearth artifacts before the Collins family starts restoring the home. Joining us now from the dig is city archaeologist Joseph Bagley. Welcome back, Joe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what's it like at the site? Can you describe it?
Sure, yeah. It's been pretty busy today. We have got a lot of local community members stopping by. It's very windy, but other than that, we're getting started on the survey. We're laying out grids for our radar survey, kind of a below-ground peek at the ground before we actually dig. And it's been great. We've had a ton of visitors.
Okay, so when we've read that you were scanning the property, is that what this sort of radar thing does? It sort of looks underneath so you don't mistakenly damage anything, pretty much?
Yeah, actually, so it's kind of like taking a sonogram of the ground. But what we're doing is, because we have such a short time to be on the site, we're only going to be here for 2 weeks, we're trying to focus all of our energy on finding as much as we can of things that will tell us the story of the property. So we're working with Rodnell Collins, who owns the house and grew up with Malcolm in the house, about places on the property where he and his family did things like picnic, or where they had their rabbits, and various parts of the property that they used. But then we're also using the radar to see if there's things like underground wells or any sort of drainage things that we could find out more about the house and the history of the property itself. Mm-hmm. So we're using the radar and the oral history to kind of take the best spots to focus all of our energy for next week, which is when we actually do the below ground testing.
So what have you found so far? Anything?
Yeah, actually, we've done a little bit of removal of soil just because we have to level the ground in certain areas for the radar. So it's areas where the ground's been mixed a little bit, so everything's kind of jumbled together, so it's a little bit hard to tell what's going on. But because Rodnell's there the whole time, that Ella's son, we were able to show him what we're finding and ask him about it. So we found pieces of Ella's china set that she had for the family. There's actually a hutch still in the house that would have held all the family's dishes, and we're finding pieces of that. We found a toy that Rodnell grew up with that he was using in the yard. He's like, oh yeah, you used to be really into cars, and that's one of them. We found a penny from 1952, which was when the family would have been living there, and Malcolm would have been listing the property as his home address. So we're already finding some really interesting things, but then we're also finding some bizarre things, like we've just found a piece of ceramic from the 1740s. We're not sure why it's there. It could be from the farm that was here well before the property got developed. It could be that Ella collected antiques. We're still working on some of the details.
Now, the home itself, though, has been vacant for quite some time. Is that right?
Yeah, so the house has been owned by the Ella Little family since 1941, but because of the conditions of the house, which has been deteriorating, unfortunately, it hasn't been occupied for a while. But the goal, ultimately, is to restore the house back to being livable and to have rental units as well as a museum in the house.
So in June of 2012, when the house was added to the National Trust, I wonder, you know, what does that do to these plans, and does it change how you dig?
No, so what I'm mostly working under is the landmark review that I do as part of the City of Boston. So I work for the Landmarks Commission as the archaeologist, and the property is a designated landmark and has been since the 1990s. And so everything that happens to the property, including work that would be done as part of the National Trust, has to go through the City of Boston Landmarks Commission and be reviewed. So when Rodnell came to us with plans for working on the foundation of the house, at that point we said, you know, we need to work on the site to do some archaeology, because once that work is done, we'll essentially have lost the site for the digging that has to be done around the foundation. So it's kind of a now or never to have this opportunity to do the archaeology. So that's kind of outside of the National Trust review. It's within the city regulations. But because Rodnell will be having a nonprofit museum as part of the property, we were able to step in and say, we will take care of the archaeology on this property, involve the community members, involve volunteers from the city archaeology program, and get as many people out and involved in the site as possible.
Mm-hmm. And so what made you think that this dig would be worth doing? I'm just wondering, were there reasons for you to believe that you might find some really interesting things here if you dug around?
Yeah, so normally on the sites that we've been doing, they've been a lot older. There's no way around that. But with this site, we never have the opportunity as archaeologists, or very rarely have the opportunity as archaeologists, to work with people who were alive during the time that we are interested in studying. So it's almost like we get a kind of behind-the-scenes tour of our own historic sites when we have the family members there. So we're able to take the combination of the oral history from Rodnell and his family, the written records that we have through the census and the deed records and the stuff that we have about Malcolm that's very widely written, and we can also add the artifacts to that. And so we can kind of do a three-part historical view of this house. And the other point, reason why we're doing it is that it's now or never. If we don't do this dig, the site will be gone. So in this case, we can't afford to wait until Malcolm becomes a more, even further back in time, historical figure like we would on, you know, Paul Revere's house or John Hancock's properties. We just can't afford to wait. So it's now or never. He's a major figure in history, and we have the benefit of talking with his family members to add that information to the site.
Have you had to study some of the history of Malcolm X to try to understand this dig better?
Absolutely. So we've been doing quite a bit of reading, but not just about his family. So the house was built in 1873, and we've been looking at not just Ella's occupation of the Little Collins family, but there was three Irish families that lived there before Ella purchased the property. Before that, it was a farm for a couple centuries. And then even before that, there would have been Native people on the property. And so we kind of have done a fairly in-depth analysis of the whole storyline of this property because we could end up finding things from all periods of occupation. And we kind of have to treat each of those as significant, even if we know that the house is important because it's Malcolm X's house. We're looking at the entire history of the property because when you do archaeology, you can't avoid finding other time periods.
I want to bring another person into this conversation. Ted Widmer is the Saunders Fellow for Public Engagement at Brown University. He's also author of the article Malcolm X, Ex-Bostonian. That was a Boston Globe article. Welcome back, Ted.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about some of this history that Joe has studied as well. Regarding Malcolm X and his time in Boston, what was significant about that time?
Well, it was an incredible formative time in his life. He came as a 15-year-old, and he was pretty wild, with good reason to be. His father had died a violent death. He may have been killed by white supremacists, and he had never lived in a city like Boston. And what struck him especially was how much dignity African Americans had in Boston. He felt that he saw black people leading lives of strength and dignity all around him, and he loved Dudley Square in Roxbury, which was then full of nightclubs and really a very vibrant African-American business community. May have been separate from Boston, but was quite economically healthy, and he grew up a lot. He stayed wild in certain ways, and he got into a gang of burglars based Harvard Square in a building that later became part of Harvard University, but he was caught. But then he growing, one of the better aspects of the story, he was incarcerated. He began a life of very deep reading and read all kinds of different books, read so much he had to get the glasses that we now think of him always wearing, and he finally about the Nation of Islam and converted to it. So he just grew year after year at a very rapid rate throughout his Boston years.
You know what? It seems really unusual to hear you say that Malcolm X came to Boston and found it to be incredibly different and this vibrant place for African Americans, given what we think of Boston's history and certainly what we remember about the busing strategies, which were much later than this time we're talking about now, from when Malcolm X lived in Roxbury.
That's right. Well, Boston has a lot of history, and there have been good moments and bad moments, but in the middle decades, 20th century, the African-American business in Dudley Square was doing relatively well. And it's not just that he enjoyed nightclubs and talking to people who ran their own businesses, but he learned a lot from the much older history. And he was amazed one day walking on Boston, this monument to the Boston Massacre with the name Crispus Attucks on it, and figured out that African-Americans played a very important role in the American Revolution. So Boston's black history was deeply moving to him, and I think it gave a strong foundation to stand upon.
I'm wondering, Joe Bagley, the city archaeologist for Boston, you did say that you studied not just the history of Malcolm X, but also the history of this property where this dig is taking place in its entirety. Sure. And I'm wondering, Joe, what do you think in terms of the part of the history of Malcolm X's time in Boston that you're hoping that maybe you might find something from this dig that will shed more light on for you?
Yeah, so when we're doing archaeology, we're not really looking for specific things so much as just anything that can tell us more about the story. So what I think that this site's going to reveal is the personal, everyday, what some would consider the mundane daily activities of the Little Collins family. And I'm hoping to make this, what I'd like to see is evidence and artifacts that support just the general life of Malcolm and Ella and their family in this house over the time that they were living here. I don't think there's going to be any one artifact that will be like, oh, this is the artifact that tells us what Malcolm's life was like on this property. But it's the subtle things. It's not the big things. It's the fact that they had a rabbit cage in the backyard and a peach tree and a rock garden that had tulips and gladiolas. That's the kind of stuff that just kind of, it's the background information on the family, but it gives us a much more daily aspects of their lives that will kind of give us a more thorough take as to what it was to be in Roxbury in the 1940s in this neighborhood. And even today, this neighborhood is just a gorgeous neighborhood full of families. And just to have that family life of Malcolm right in this time in his life when he was transitioning from a teen to an adult, and all of the major things that were about to happen in his life, from entering the Nation of Islam to his imprisonment, we're right on that cusp of that time period. But to see it from a at-home perspective, what was it like for his everyday life?
And Ted Widmer, I'm wondering, what else do we know about some of Malcolm X's time here in Boston? We do know, you said he was wild and he was living here in Roxbury for a while. He went to prison for, I think, 7 years because he got involved with a gang of burglars from Harvard Square. But what do we know about his life, his work, and what he was doing when he was here in Boston?
Well, pretty much everything we know is from his autobiography, which is one of the most important autobiographies in American literary history, which came out posthumously after he was killed in 1965. And so we just have to trust that record, and that's why it's so valuable to have this new archaeological information, which is a different kind of information, but really helps fill out the picture a lot. I mean, he wasn't in Boston constantly in that time. He went to Harlem for a bit, traveled around, but it was a very stable thing for him in his life to come back and see his half-sister Ella, who was a very important person in his life. And then that time in jail in Norfolk State Prison, which for most of us would be a low point in a life, really marked a turnaround for him, and that's when he started to read seriously and to think seriously and to not just sort of live day to day, but to really put some purpose into his life. So I argued in my piece that his life, I mean, he was a flawed human being like all of us, but that Boston really was important to him, and he was important to Boston also.
All right. Ted Widmer is the Saunders Fellow for Public Engagement at Brown University. Ted, thanks very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Joe Bagley is the city archaeologist for Boston, who is at the dig in Roxbury that began today of the childhood home of Malcolm X. Joe, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And we should say, if you are interested in visiting the dig, it will be open to the public on weekdays starting today through April 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.